from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your host, Todd Starnes. Your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. So, if you're heading out for lunch today, you might want to bypass Poncho's and all the Mexican joints. Apparently, there is some sort of a nationwide work stoppage today among all the illegals. So they're staying home. They're not going to work. So. If you want a burrito, you're going to have to go down to Taco Bell. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get any service at your local Mexican restaurant. That's what people are saying out there. By the way, over the weekend, did you watch all the protest? This was an educational moment, I think, for a lot of people. And when planes weren't dropping out of the skies, and we're going to get to that in a moment, there were all of these massive protests around the nation. And you had tens of thousands of illegals and their allies, and they were marching in the streets of American cities, causing all sorts of mayhem. They were clashing with police in Dallas and New York City and Times Square and in Los Angeles. They actually shut down the 101 freeway, which is a major, major roadway, and they shut it down. And they're all screaming and they're cussing President Trump, and most of the stuff is in Spanish, so I don't know what the heck they were saying. Something about chalupas and gorditas or something. I don't know. That's irrelevant. But what I found very interesting is that to a person, they were flying the Mexican flag. I think there were some flags from Guatemala as well. But by and large, the flags were being flown representing the countries of Mexico and Guatemala. You know what they were doing to the American flag, ladies and gentlemen? They were burning the American flag. They were burning Old Glory. There were videos all over the place on social media over the weekend, and these illegals were burning our flag. Now, I'm not sure how that makes you feel, I can imagine. But understand, these are people that have broken our laws. They have invaded our country. And I want you to think about something for just a moment. Now, years ago, and let's just say, let's go back to the 19th century. When a country would come into another country without that country's permission, we would call that an invasion. We used to fight wars over stuff like that. I mean, this was very well documented. You can go back through the annals of history and you can find stories about wars and world wars that were fought because people from one country breached the borders of another country and invaded. And as I was watching the events of this weekend unfold, I became very unsettled in my soul, and I want to explain why. What I saw was the invading army. I didn't see illegals. I saw a very well-coordinated effort to invade this country, to infiltrate every major city and every major town in this country. I mean, you had even small towns and communities where you had hundreds of people showing up, illegals, waving the Mexican flags in places that you would not even imagine that there would be illegals. Atlanta, Georgia, for example, they had thousands of people turning out, shutting down the roadways. And you say, Todd, what are you getting to? The point is this. I don't believe that this was all just happenstance. I think this has been a well-coordinated plot that has unfolded over a period of years, and now these illegals are just waiting for someone to say, okay, now is the time to attack. And I think we saw a little bit of that yesterday, because I'm telling you right now that I'm not sure we have the forces necessary to fight back an invading force of 10, 11, 12 million illegals. I don't know if we can do it. So last night, you've got the illegals in Los Angeles, and the police were finally said enough of this. They were throwing rocks and bottles at the cops, and the cops were advancing on the illegals, and then somebody got a phone call. This is the craziest story, folks. But you know that Governor Newsom and Mayor Karen Ass are just, they're pro-illegals. Somebody from City Hall literally called the SWAT team and told them to stand down. And the reporters were stunned. I mean, there was mass chaos, and all of a sudden the police were told to get into their patrol cars and go away. In other words, they were not allowed to do their jobs. So my recommendation, and I understand that, you know, we've arrested, what, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 illegals so far by the Border Czar. The Border Czar needs to be in places like Los Angeles and Atlanta, Gainesville, Georgia, Memphis, Tennessee. That's where the Border Czar needs to be, Times Square. And we need to be rounding up all of these people. If you're going to one of these protests, you're flying the Mexican flag, you're out of here, pal. You're gone. You're gone. But that's what I saw, ladies and gentlemen, over the weekend. I saw an invading army showing their power, showing their muscle. But can you imagine? You know, these people, they say that they came here because they said the conditions were so horrible in the motherland, they had to come to America. Okay, if that's the case, then why are you burning our flag and why are you waving the Mexican flag? What's going on there? Because this is not about loving America. This is about destabilizing America. This is about causing mayhem in America. And the question we may need to be asking our military, are we capable, are we able to fight multiple wars on multiple fronts within our own homeland? Because if these illegals decide to take up arms against the government, it's going to get ugly. And I'm not sure we've got that many military personnel that can put down some sort of a mass rebellion in every major American city. Because that's what was happening over the weekend, everybody. Now, there's another component to all of this. And I've got a story up at ToddStearns.com with some additional details. But I haven't been able to. One of the things that's really rubbed me the wrong way has been the religious community in America. And it's very interesting when you see the religious community in America, they are lining up against Donald Trump on these mass deportations. And it's really fascinating. You've got the Catholics. You've got the Episcopalians, you've got the Lutherans, and you've got a bunch of other folks. And there are some Southern Baptists in there. That's my denomination. We're not as liberal, but we're heading in that direction. So you've got all these groups out there. And if you remember Bishop Booty from National Cathedral, she's the female lady preacherette, and she was the one that was attacking President Trump and the immigration policies. Remember that? So anyway, I couldn't figure out why is everybody so upset about this? They must really love these illegals. I couldn't figure it out. Well, I was doing some research over the past week or so, and I think I've stumbled upon something. Now, there's this one Christian magazine. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called Christianity Today. I believe it was founded by Billy Graham, but it is the farthest thing from Christian these days than you can imagine. And it's basically a woke leftist publication. And they actually published an essay claiming Jesus was a refugee, which he was not. But the insinuation of the essay is, if you oppose refugees, if you oppose the illegals, then you hate Jesus. But these folks are just fiercely enraged that President Trump is shutting down U.S. aid. And the reason why Trump is doing that is that billions of our tax dollars are going to fund all sorts of crazy stuff. And it turns out that the anger coming from these Christian ministries has nothing to do with the illegals, but it has everything to do with the bottom line. Because you see, President Trump just killed the cash cow. Now, according to our research, I'm just going to run down some numbers here for you. Catholic Charities, they were getting $1.4 billion with a B, billion dollars in tax money to help illegals. That money coming from your bank account. The Lutherans got nearly $100 million. And what about Bishop Booty? Well, it turns out, and she's an Episcopalian, which is barely a religion, so Bishop Booty over at National Cathedral, the Episcopalians were getting about $53 million in tax money. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a racket. And by the way, that's not charity, it's welfare. So it just seems to me that if the Catholics and the Episcopalians and the Lutherans, if they want to take care of the illegals, knock yourself out. Have at it. But you got to do it with your own tithes and offerings and not the hard-earned money of the American taxpayers. And let me say this. These are the same denominations. Whenever, let's just say you've got a conservative church out there and they want to invite President Trump, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. They are the first people to scream and holler and yammer about all of that. The very first ones. But they got no problem taking our tax money. So I say this, we need separation of church and my bank account. That's what we need. All right, we got to take a break. Do you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with churches getting government money? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to the website. We've got some great stories from the weekend. Also, videos of these protests. And I'm telling you, you burn Old Glory. I don't care who you get, your butt is rounded up and you're tossed right back across that border. That's the way I feel about this. It enraged me, ladies and gentlemen, to see what they did to our American flag. All those people marching as if they were conquering invaders with their Mexican flags. It made me sick to my stomach watching all of this, and it ought to make you sick to your stomach as well. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, I got to tell you, eggs, they're still a little pricey out there, and it's going to take some time for those to come down. And we explained that earlier this week on the show. The reality is it's a mess. The economy's a mess, and it's going to take some time for Trump to work all this out. And then, again, the trickle down, the egg prices will come down. What I'm saying is that you need to start taking actions now to protect your savings, to protect your retirement fund. And if it's all in a 401k, you got big problems. Your retirement plan is in jeopardy. That's just the cold, hard facts. So the good news is you can do something about it, and that's why my friends at Priority Gold are big, big fans of the Todd Stearns program. They want to give you a free wealth protection guide, a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings, diversify your savings and retirement with gold. There is no cost, no obligation. Just text the word Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. Or go to PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide today. By the way, this magazine, Christianity Today, they're huge pro-illegal alien, organization. You know, I did a brief search on their, and you can go and go to their website. You can check this out for yourself. I just wanted to see if they had any stories about Lake and Riley, if they had any stories about American citizens. And by the way, Lake and Riley, a born-again Christian, and her mom, just a few days ago at the White House, was giving glory to God. Not one story. They haven't done a single story about Lake and Riley on ChristianityToday.com. So you can make of that what you will. All right, 901-260-5926. A lot happening over the weekend. A lot of orders coming out, including from the Defense Department. And they are putting a pause on all DEI-related holidays and programs. I want to go to the phone lines. Jerry in Gainesville, Georgia, wants to weigh in on that. Hi, Jerry. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, we have started a petition here in Gainesville to try and get Veterans Month instead of just a Veterans Day. And so far, we got about 7,000 signatures, and we only started that back in October, I guess it was. And it's just been amazing how many people are interested in this, you know?
So instead of just having a single day to honor veterans, you want an entire month of the calendar year.
This petition has been going really, really well. But then, over the weekend, I saw where they had decided to stop Pride Month, which is June. And the vice president and the president had looked at making that Veterans Month. So that would be okay, too, you know. And then we'd still have Veterans Day in November.
So instead of celebrating the LGBT movement in the month of June, you want to celebrate use that whole month to celebrate veterans? Is that what you're saying, Jerry?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I mean, we worked hard on here in Georgia to try to get it. And we were just doing it actually for Georgia, okay? Just get it passed here. But
Jerry, where can people go? We have a lot of listeners in Gainesville, Georgia. Where can people go if they want to sign your petition?
Well, they can go to the Outdoor Depot Gun Store. They can go to Long Street Cafe. That's where I've gotten the majority of them anyway. They can go to the Foxhole Gun Store. And they can go to the Wagon Wheel.
All right. There you go. So, all right, folks, you've got your marching orders, and all of those places need to be advertising on WDUN, by the way, to get the messaging out. Jerry, what a great idea. So you can sign the petition there. Let's just say Long Street Cafe. That's where a lot of folks go to grab a good old meat and three, and you can sign that petition as well. Jerry, good luck to you. Let me know how that goes. I like that idea, replacing Pride Month with Veteran Pride Month. So the Defense Department, they have officially put a pause on Black History Month celebrations, Women's History Month, the Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, LGBTQ Pride Month, Juneteenth, Women's Equality Day, National Hispanic Heritage Month, and it goes on and on and on. And this is a brilliant, first of all, you're saving millions of dollars, but second of all, the military is supposed to be one cohesive unit, and you can't be one cohesive unit if you are pulling people out to celebrate this or that culture, right? So it's all about America. That's what it's supposed to be about. So I'm saluting Pete Hegseth here. I think this is a terrific thing. Can we talk about we're going to talk about this when we come back. I watched the Grammys last night. I only did it so you wouldn't have to, but I couldn't even make it through there. I had to turn it off when they awarded Beyonce with the Country Music Album of the Year. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of, and dare I say, it's cultural appropriation. So we're going to get into all of that coming up after the break. I'm telling you, if Beyonce is reflective of the country music industry, we're hosed as a country. We really are. Also, this story, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this because it's causing a lot of conversation and controversy here in the Memphis area. There was a guy, a homeowner, who was burglarized. He was at home, and all of a sudden, these three little thugs break into his house. 16 years old, 14 years old, 11 years old. The guy had no idea who these people are. He had no idea what their intentions were. But now they're saying, and by the way, the guy had a gun, the homeowner, and he shot and killed the 14-year-old. He wounded the 16-year-old. And now the grandmother of the dead kid is rebuking the homeowner. Wants to know why her grandson got killed. We'll talk about that coming up as well. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. For a number of years, customers have been asking if MyPillow sells cross necklaces like the one Mike Lindell proudly wears every day. Well, they are excited to announce that Mike has partnered with a jeweler right here in America to create a beautiful sterling silver MyCross. You can save 30% today using promo code Starnes at MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code Starnes. You can choose from the women's or men's style. The MyCross for women has a more delicate look, reversible, with mother-of-pearl style translucent white enamel on one side and black enamel on the other. The MyCross for men has a slightly larger cross with black enamel and a slightly longer, thicker chain. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNES. So the story out of West Memphis, Arkansas, three young boys broke into a man's house on a Sunday night, 16 years old, 14 years old, 11 years old, and the 11-year-old was the lookout. So one of, no, 11 years old, the burglars. So the kids, I don't know, the kids in the Memphis area are starting super young now. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 8-9-year-olds that are running around after hours. Acting like, well, you know, hellions. So anyway, they break into this poor guy's house. He doesn't know who's coming in through the windows. And so he does what any law-abiding homeowner would do. As soon as they step foot inside, he opened fire. The 14-year-old got killed. The 16-year-old got shot but survived. And so then the dead child's grandmother goes right to the media. And, I mean, it's a terrible story. I mean, it's a tragedy. Horrible. But my issue is, why are they interviewing, and this is what gets me, Ben Dieter, and I know you cover these kinds of stories, why are they interviewing the grandma? Why aren't they interviewing the poor guy whose home got burglarized? He's the victim here, not grandma. And for that matter, she's going on, she goes, well, you know my grandson did the wrong thing. You know, he was hanging out with a bad crowd and causing... Okay, well, if you knew the kid was running around with a bad crowd, then why weren't you locking him in his bedroom? Why weren't you, you know, keeping him inside the house? Why were you letting your, you know, kids wander around in the dark of night?
Yeah, and where's your daughter? I mean, where's the parent of these kids?
Where's mommy? Where's daddy?
I mean, I feel bad for the grandma. I mean, I get it. She should have spoke to the media before the grandkid was killed, because that would have meant maybe being more proactive rather than reactive. But it's not her job even to raise these grandkids. Where are the parents? You should be calling out your daughter or son on local TV, calling them back to raise their dang kids.
So the grandma's out there on the TV and she's saying, I know what he did was wrong, but he didn't have to get killed. Why did you shoot him? And I'm sitting here going, what?
She's basically saying, could you have please shot him in the, I don't know, the leg, the toe?
The knee? I don't. Look, the homeowner had, and here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. The danger zone is so great in Memphis that you would, but I will say this, you want to get, if you're going to get carjacked, you want to get carjacked by somebody who's in their 20s or 30s. You don't want to get carjacked by an 11-year-old, because that 11-year-old will shoot you. The 21-year-old probably won't, because they understand the consequences. But these kids, they will shoot you dead and not even think about it. That's they are raising savages. That's what's happening here. You've got a large swath of not just Memphis, but this entire country, where they're raising these kids to be savages. Not even the animals behave like this. I mean, they are predators. Predators. So, yeah, somebody in Memphis or West Memphis comes into your home in the dark of night, breaks in your window, and jumps through, I'm opening fire.
Give them a basketball.
Or a community center. That's they say.
Give them toys. No, there's an actual... Todd, you live in Memphis. You know what they actually call this period of time every night. It strikes 10 o'clock p.m. and the kids get out on the street, and that time in Memphis is known as what? Do you know?
Go ahead.
Demon time.
Demon time.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right.
They
are hellions. They actually call them demons. It's
they call
a thing
it
here.
Demon time.
Yeah. God forbid you're caught out on the streets during demon time. You know, it's like the apocalypse.
I feel the person I feel bad. I only feel bad for one. I don't feel bad for grandma because she know her kid was a little demon and did nothing. Right. She admitted it in the interview. The whole thing was to put the family in a sympathetic light. The only victim here is this homeowner who now has to live with the idea and the fact that he had to shoot and kill a 14-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are, that will weigh on your conscience. He did the right thing, and it's shameful that he was placed in that situation that he had to do that. But look, here's the thing. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is that simple. And sorry, if you break into somebody's house, you got what's coming to you. I don't care if you're 11 years old or 33.
I mean, how are you supposed to know that this is an elementary kid?
Even still, if you've got an 11-year-old with a gun, and I don't know if the kid was armed, he was the lookout, and we don't know if these kids were armed, but you don't want to find out, because if they are, they will shoot you,
mm-hmm.
and they will not think a second thought about it.
No.
People have been so desensitized to violence, and that is, I blame all of that on the video games. Kids are desensitized to any sort of violence. So they don't know the difference between going out there, you're playing a video game shooting people,
Grand Theft Auto,
and watching their guts explode, and then going out and doing it in real life.
Yeah, they're just playing Grand Theft Auto, and we're just living in it.
That's it, man.
That's what it's like driving down the interstate.
We're expendable. But again, I think, here's my question. Okay, why was the 11-year-old out on the streets after dark? Where were the parents?
Yeah.
Where were the parents?
It's not grandma's job to raise the kids. Grandmas are great, but grandmas are there to give cookies. They're not good at giving spankings. I know this very well.
Maybe grandma gave them bullets. I don't. It just seems to me that the parents ought to face charges as well. So the way this works, so the 11-year-old and the 16-year-old will be charged with murder.
Todd, they barely even charge these kids. They first need to start by charging them as adults, then maybe implicate the parents.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
This is a very, very bad situation because this is happening all over America. Mm-hmm. When you look at the kinds of crimes that are being committed by 10, 11-year-olds, it's just unbelievable. But ultimately, mommy and daddy bear full responsibility for the behavior of an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if it's 11, I mean, what grade is that even? What's an 11?
Is that like third,
holy
fourth
moly.
Grade? Third
yeah, grade, the parent. Fourth grade. Yeah, at that point, parents got to go and at least bear some responsibility.
So I'm curious, did the homeowner do the wrong thing here? Because that's the implication coming from the local TV station that did the interview and the grandma, is that the homeowner should not have shot the kids. 901-260-5926, or whatever, that's 901-260-5926. So the DNC, they had their big meeting over the weekend, and they had to elect their new leadership. And here's how bad it is in the DNC. They actually elected two white guys to fix what's broken. That is huge, because I have been on record as saying there's no way they're ever going to be able to be led by white people in the DNC.
Mm-mm.
Because it's all about diversity. And if you're white, you ain't diverse. So anyway, one of the big issues, Ben Dieter, was this manhood problem they've got, right? So there was this, they thought that Coach Timmy was going to help them out, and that didn't do it. So they thought, all right, we've got to have somebody else who exudes manliness, and they came up with David Hogg. Now, here's David Hogg, cut number 7.
Yeah! Are you ready to go on the offense?
Yeah!
Are you ready to go on the offense?
Yeah!
We have to win back our young people. I am the only candidate in this race for any of these positions that is under 30. We had a 20-point shift to the right of our young people. We must show our young people we give a damn about them, that we support them, and we invest in them. I have raised over $11 million in the past year to support the future of our party, because I don't just tweet, I don't just talk the talk, I also walk the walk and I knock the knock in doors across the country, but I'm counting on you in this moment right now. I need your support. Please vote for me. Thank you so much.
All right, that's little Davy Hogg. He weighs about, what, 30 pounds?
Yeah.
He's got the little man bunnish thing going on. He's basically a woman. But he's their guy now. He got elected vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to go back in time to the Parkland school shooting, which is where he came to fame.
Yeah.
So a lot of people forget this, but we don't forget anything here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This guy's a fraud. He's a complete fraud. He was at home when the school shooting happened, and he rushed back on his big wheel to get back to the school. And when you see the early interviews, it was very clear he had no idea what he was talking about because he was co-opting the tragedy as if he was running from the bullets when, in fact, he was already at his home. He's a fraud, this guy.
Ew.
He's going to do great.
He'll be perfect for them.
He's going to be great.
Imagine grifting off a school mass shooting.
That's exactly what he did.
Holy, there's like a place in hell for people like that. But this is great, actually, because where did Democrats lose the most support in the last election? It was with flyover country and men. And that's their alternative to where they lost the most support? White dudes? You pull a David Hogg.
My favorite David Pig, sorry, Hogg story, came from New Hampshire. And a Chinese immigrant, and she ran for Congress and she lost, but she called him out on gun control. Take a listen, cut 16.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
Wow. There you go. Just smacked him around.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But you know what? What she said was absolutely true. And they don't think these things through here. But you've got people coming from places like China, that are coming from places like the old Soviet Union, where they took away the guns, Venezuela. And when they take away your guns, they take away your rights. They take away your freedom. And so good for this lady.
Yeah.
All right. The black women of the DNC are very upset.
They got shifted.
Mm-hmm. Cut number 9, please.
Hello, Democrats. Hey, I am speaking, and I would love your attention. There is a black woman at this podium, and I deserve your attention like the 11 people who went before me. Yes, I am speaking.
Good evening, Democrats. Look up here. Three strong black women standing before you. Three black women who, rather than just grabbing a chair, ran for chair.
Te quiero mucho, papa. Gracias por todo. My name is Artie Blanco, Freddie Blanco's daughter. Vote for me for vice chair.
Look at this room, y'all. Truly take it in. This is the Democratic Party. We are our strongest when we stand together.
We are in a time in this country when our democracy and our rights are under attack. We're at a time where black and brown people, women, and other minorities are being blamed for everything that's wrong with this country.
So let's fight together for a stronger and more inclusive Democratic Party.
Good afternoon, DNC! Let me say something. Over the last several days, we've seen what happens when we have the wrong people in powerful places. And so today, I ask for your support in electing me as your DNC vice chair because in a time of crisis, leadership matters.
My people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. We are sick and tired of being the last one hired and the first one fired.
And I've spent the last 15 years fighting for the American people, all 340 million of them.
to do to organize, show up, and win. And that is why I'm asking the people who have stood with me in this ride, because you know the work that I do to protect the vote.
So, Ben, all of those outraged black women, and they elected two white guys to lead the DNC.
Good.
Wow.
Good. Because they already have black women. I don't even know. It would be such a dumb move strategically to select one of those women when you have 98% of black females in this country voting for Democrats. You already are representing. Find someone like a white dude that's not voting for Democrats. But again, those white dudes are like Tim Kaine point. Tim Kaine and Tim Walz had a baby, and that would be
Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, exactly.
He couldn't. Yeah, Buttigieg is still. I think he's still chest feeding, so he couldn't be there. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So, one other thing from this weekend's DNC gathering, and all I can tell you is they haven't learned their lesson at all. This is a DNC leader trying to explain the party's rules that they have to have a certain number of people elected based on their sex. Cut number five.
We're finding out ways to expedite this. Because of our gender balance provisions on this next ballot, you will be able to vote for two candidates of any gender on the next ballot. Okay? So on this next ballot, you will be able to vote for two candidates of any gender on the next ballot. If two candidates receive... I'm going to turn to Helen to clarify this last part.
You are in this next ballot where you have two votes. As the chair has said, you may vote for two males, two females, two of any gender, okay? Nope, you can't do that because we've got to balance. You could vote for one of any gender, okay? Or no, non-binary gender, excuse me. It is late, okay?
Oh, my God. No, even they're getting confused. Well, what about, I'm sorry here, but again, I'm calling out the DNC right now, Ben Dieter, because what about, I know it's all about non-binary, but what about those two-spirit people? What about the pansexuals? What about them? Don't their votes count? Don't they deserve a seat at the table? Mm-hmm. Or the, I don't know, gender queers? The dwarfs? That's FAA. My apologies.
I thought this was a joke, to be honest. I had to fact check it. That was actually true.
And it was real.
Yeah.
This is...
By the way, speaking of spirits, I was listening to one of the prayer. They had a lady chaplain up there, and she was praying, and she prayed to the spirits. Like, it was some... I mean, these people are bat-crap insane, Todd.
They're demonic.
Yeah.
Demonic.
Yeah. She was, like, talking to a... She's like, and to the great universe... who oversees our spirit. I'm like, you are literally blasphemous, woman. Like, you're lucky God's not coming down and striking you all dead.
Well, they voted God out of the Democrat Party back in 2012.
So I guess you have to pray for something.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm just unbelievable. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Hour two of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926 our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello everybody, welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today, and a lot happening across America. Want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to a good friend of this program, Pastor Robert Jeffers from the Great First Baptist Church of Dallas. Dr. Jeffers, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing well.
We have been following this crazy story. There's been a lot of outrage coming from these religious groups, and I was just puzzled by the ferocity of their opposition to President Trump and the mass deportations. Of course, Christianity Today has sort of been leading the charge, and they actually published a screed saying that Jesus was a refugee. And the insinuation is that if you don't like the immigrants coming into America illegally, then you must have a problem with Jesus as well. I guess that's a good starting point.
Well, it's absolute lunacy. Look, Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. Jesus recognized and believed that God had created government as an institution that we have a responsibility to. You know, God didn't just create the church or the family. He created government. And the main function of government is to protect citizens from evildoers. And there is nothing wrong and everything right with our nation having borders to protect our citizens from those who would try to harm us. And look, President Trump said he was going to engage in these mass deportations. It's no secret. And he won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. And it's interesting, he won 55% of the Hispanic vote. I know Hispanics in our church, they resent others who try to crash into this country illegally when they followed the process that our government prescribed. So I don't think this opposition is going to get anywhere. Christians and others as well realize that if you don't have borders, you don't have a country.
Well, that's a great point, and I think the Old Testament especially filled with stories about cities that had walls around them. So there is some biblical context there.
You know, that's interesting you mentioned that, because at President Trump's first inauguration, I preached the sermon at St. John's Church, and it was on Nehemiah when God selects a leader. And I said, Mr. President, the Bible says even God likes walls. And that's true.
There you go.
There's going to be walls in heaven.
But again, to the point that this is all political, I did a quick search just online of Christianity Today. Not one mention of Lake and Riley or any of the Americans who have been killed by these illegals. And Lake and Riley, a born-again believer, her mother, devoutly Christian as well, not a single mention.
Yeah, if we're going to show empathy, let's show empathy through those who are obeying the laws, and you're exactly right. And again, this is part of government's function, a God-ordained function. Romans 13 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for he who opposes government authority opposes God. And these churches that are trying to circumvent immigration laws and hide refugees, They may think they're doing God's word. The Bible says they're actually opposing God's will.
Well, we did a little bit of digging, Dr. Jeffress, and it turns out that a lot of this compassion they have for the illegals may not necessarily be rooted in their Christian teachings. We were able to discover that many of these denominations, like the Catholic Church, for example, Catholic Charities, they get $1.4 billion in our tax money to take care of these illegals. The Lutherans got nearly $100 million, and the Episcopal Church Migration Ministries got $53 million. This is all coming out of our bank accounts.
Well, there certainly may be a monetary motive, but let's even say it's not. Let's say they're sincere. They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. The only judge of this is what Scripture says, and Scripture says illegal immigration is wrong because it absolutely opposes what government says. And I think churches need to start teaching the Bible and looking at what the Bible says about this issue. We can be compassionate. We're the most compassionate nation in the world, but we have to have laws and uphold those laws.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And I know over the weekend, a lot of big cities got hit with these protests and demonstrations. And you guys had some protests there in Dallas as well.
Well, I was away from Dallas on Sunday, but everybody tells me it amounted next to nothing. Because, understand, more and more Americans are coming to the conclusion, even Democrats and independents, that this nation has to have borders. What's happening at our borders right now is totally unacceptable.
And one of the things that gets me here, and one of the big arguments coming from even the Southern Baptist world, is that the president authorized, you know, ICE agents to storm into church houses and pull out the illegals. That is simply not true. That is a complete gross distortion of what the president's wanting to do here.
Well, first of all, this idea of sanctuary, that somebody can hide in a church and be protected like the Von Trapps and the Sound of Music, I mean, that's not reality. The truth is, government right now has every right and every authority it needs to go anywhere in this nation where there's illegal activity going on and arresting the people involved. So this is nothing new under the Trump administration. The Trump administration has said, first of all, they're going to go after criminals, violent, illegal criminals. The fact is, most illegal criminals don't hang out at church, so it's not going to be much of a profit to the government to come into churches. But they've always had the right, and they still have the right to come to church if they want to.
You know, it's also interesting, and by the way, folks, this is Dr. Robert Jeffress, the pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. The president's also been targeting a lot of these, you know, pride celebrations and removing a lot of this stuff from these government agencies. Is that a good move in your estimation?
It is a hallelujah moment. And I think, again, the left overplayed their hand. They went too far with this transgender mania. And I think people just woke up and said, this can't stand, and I'm glad the president is exercising common sense, not just biblical sense, but common sense, that there are only two genders, male and female. That's not prejudice, that's science.
I'm curious if, you know, you've seen this in your congregation there at First Baptist Dallas. David Asman from Fox News was sharing some photos over the weekend, and he noted that the Catholic church in his neighborhood was filled to overflowing. And we're starting to see these reports, and predominantly it's been coming out of the Catholic world, where so many young people now are going back to church. And I'm wondering, if, first of all, are you seeing that there as well? And if so, what do you make of these young people returning to the faith?
Well, we are seeing it, and I think things come and go, but I think this idea that there are no moral or spiritual absolutes, I think people are seeing where that leads. Again, in this insane transgender agenda, people say, wait a minute, we're following the wrong belief system. Let's go back to the basics. And I think there's an internal desire that every person has for the truth that can only be found in God's word and God's church.
Mm. Dr. Robert Jeffress on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. I feel like maybe we got to a point where it was so far, the pendulum swung so far to the left that we're just, you know, people are waking up now and they're wanting to restore normalcy in their lives and get back to those traditions of maybe their parents, or if not their parents, their grandparents.
Yeah, for every action, there's a reaction, and I think we're starting to see the reaction to the mania we've been in for these last 10 or 15 years.
All right. Anything else going on, Dr. Jeffress? I know you're a busy man these days.
Well, I'm in our nation's capital today, and things are very interesting in Washington, D.C., but there's a good spirit here, an optimistic spirit, and I think we have every right to be optimistic about the second term of Donald Trump's presidency.
I love it. Well, enjoy the time in D.C., and we'll be getting you back on very soon.
Look forward to it, Todd. Thanks for all you're doing.
All right, Dr. Robert Jeffress, everybody, senior pastor at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, there in our nation's capital. The guy gets around. He's a busy fellow. By the way, Ben Dieter mentioned this prayer at the DNC over the weekend, and I want you to hear what they said. This is pretty dangerous ground the Democrats are going to. This is the Democrat Party praying to the universe. Cut number 6.
May the endless, boundless energy of the universe wrap around you with awe and love and well-becoming. Amen, Ashe, Amin, and may we together make it so.
All right, somebody needs to rebuke that chick in the name of Jesus, because that right there was a pagan prayer, ladies and gentlemen. But this is what the Democrat Party has become. They have become a godless party of heathens. And that bodes well for the nation, because I don't think the average American is going to be voting for a godless heathen. I really don't. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy the Rinse Straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean. Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
All right, we got to talk about what happened at the Grammys last night. So Beyonce was awarded the Country Album of the Year, which I find to be appalling, only because it was just a very bad album. And I haven't heard anybody who actually enjoyed it. Anyway, here's Beyonce last night accepting her Grammy for Best Country Album of the Year.
I want to thank God, oh my God, that I'm able to still do what I love after so many years. Oh my God. I'd like to thank all of the incredible country artists that accepted this album. We worked so hard on it. I think sometimes genre is a cold word to keep us in our place as artists. And I just want to encourage people to do what they're passionate about. And to stay persistent. Wow. I'd like to thank my beautiful family, all of the artists that were collaborators. Thank you. This wouldn't have been this album without you. I'd like to thank God again and my fans, and I still am in shock. So thank you so much for this honor.
All right. So this was, let me explain what's going on here. This is all about trying to gin up a controversy. So first of all, the the Best Country Album of the Year award. I think the fix was in, and that the music industry was trying to create a scandal here. They intentionally named Beyonce's album because they're all about DEI. This is all about diversity and making sure that a black woman becomes the winner of a country album of the year Grammy. Okay. So what you heard there was Beyonce talking about diversity. But what I find very interesting, I was watching this last night, and it reminded me that diversity doesn't actually cut both ways. For example, back in 2015, at Kent State University, there was a huge controversy, made the pages of the New York Times. There was a production of an MLK event, and so it was based on Martin Luther King Jr. So the university production actually featured a white guy playing Martin Luther King Jr., and all you know what broke loose. People talking about how insensitive it was and how racist it was to have a white guy. So again, the music industry is hoping that people are enraged because they want somebody to say, oh, no, the argument is it wasn't a lousy album. It was because Beyonce is black or whatever color she is. I don't know. But that's not it, folks. It was just a lousy album. It really was. All that to say, this whole idea of diversity, and this was a running theme last night. There was a story from ABC News, and this is a couple of years ago, and the story was about, it was criticizing and it was critical of white hip-hop artists. So these are white people that decided to jump into a genre that was predominantly black. And ABC News was pointing out that this is controversial, and they called out guys like groups like the Beastie Boys, Eminem. And the whole point was, what are these white guys doing in a musical genre that is meant for black artists? So I just find it interesting that when the music industry wants to throw around words like diversity and inclusion, they're not talking about what you think they're talking about. So anyway, it was the powers that be. John Rich was tweeting about all of this over the weekend, and he was explaining how all of this actually works. So these are not like fans of the music at all. This is all about sending a message to the culture at large. And if you don't follow John Rich, I would encourage you to do that. But John says the deal is all the labels and the publishers have blocks of votes, and they make deals with each other saying, you vote for my musician and I'll vote for yours. So it has zero to do with who made the best music. And John Rich says that's why Beyonce got the Country Album of the Year award. And he says the same thing happens with the CMAs and the ACMs. But I'm telling everybody was shocked by it. I think even what's Beyonce's husband's name? What's his name? Mr. Beyonce? Who is that guy? Thank you. Even Jay-Z, when they, by the way, they had the camera already trained on Beyonce, so everybody knew what was going down. And Jay-Z's expression was like, you got to be kidding me. Really? Really? Even Jay-Z was stunned. So there you go. Lainey Wilson, by the way, she was up much, much better. She would have been great, but there you go. All right, 901-260-5926. By the way, what was up with Will Smith's son? That kid's, something's wrong with that kid. So he shows up wearing some sort of a house on his head. It was very strange. But when you look at the eyes, and John Rich pointed this out, when you look at that kid's eyes, there is sadness there. Something is not right with it. And then you got Kanye. Oh, he fooled all you Christians out there, right? Kanye, oh, he's like the next Billy Graham. Well, Billy Graham didn't show up at an award ceremony with a buck-naked wife. I'm just telling you. He fooled a lot of people, Kanye did. All right, I got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Do you really think Beyonce deserved the Country Album of the Year award? We'll take your calls on that coming up next.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So let's go to the phone lines real quick. Gabe in Jacksonville, North Carolina, wants to weigh in on Beyonce. All right, Gabe, what you got for us?
How are you doing today, Todd?
Good, good, good. What's on your mind?
I really am not super informed about the Beyonce topic, but I know that she performed for several Super Bowls, maybe. And I thought she was, more or less, rhythm and blues and coming out, half-dressed type of thing. Wasn't that her thing?
But again, she wants to break down the barriers between genres, which is, I guess, why she wants to be the next member of the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd have to listen to the music to really... I really haven't heard it, so I don't really know, but it seemed a little bit different to me to hear that, But anyways, I wanted to ask you a question, Todd. This is something that kind of has been on my mind for some time now. I voted 3 times for Trump, first time in my life. I'm 52 years old and so happy that he got in. I was passing out flyers in New Bern, in North Carolina, talking to the Democrats. They were stumping for their deal on the Constitution, all that kind of stuff, and passing out sandwiches. But we had very strong showing in New Bern. But my question is, how is it possible, and I know this is kind of a, throwing this question out there, how is it possible to have a country of the people, by the people, and for the people that's led by people that don't have to answer to the people?
Well, the answer to that question is very simple. And Gabe, thank you for the call, and I'll try my best to answer that for you. Because for the past 4 years, we have been led by a government that was not of or by or for the people. We had a government under the leadership of the committee led by Barack Hussein Obama, who actually ruled this country as some sort of a dictatorship. So that's what was going on here. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is undoing all of that. And I know it's angering a lot of people right now because the leftists and their causes are getting defunded even as we speak. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, the great Mary Walter. Mary, hope you're doing well today.
Oh, my gosh. I miss you. I don't even think we've spoken since Christmas. So Happy New Year.
It's been ages. Happy New Year to you. Did you watch the Grammys? I thought about you last night. I'm like, I'm wondering if Mary Walter had a Grammys party.
Do you not know me?
Well, so I take it you didn't.
Why, in God's name, if I want to see a bunch of liberals, glad-handing themselves and slapping each other on the back and telling us how wonderful they are, I could just watch Congress. I don't need the Grammys for that.
Here's the thing, Mary, and this is what just blew me away, watching all of this going down with Beyonce and all the others. These people, it looks like a giant freak show. I mean, these people do not even look like they're normal human beings.
Okay, so didn't see it, but I don't want to sound like I'm 90 years old sitting on my rocker on my porch. So I'm going to say, kids these days. That's all I'm going to say about that.
There you go. All right.
But
go ahead.
Well, no, can I just say about Beyonce just very quickly? I just have a problem with this whole thing. I don't care. She wants to do country. I don't care. I don't think her album was that great, but she won. Okay, I'm... Whatever. I'm old enough to remember when Robert Van Winkle and Marshall Mathers, also known as Vanilla Ice and Eminem respectively, were called out because they were white and wanted to do rap, and that was a black genre. Does anybody remember that? And black people were all upset because 2 white guys dared to try to create their music.
Jerry Mathers, he played the Beav. I'm sorry, Marshall Mathers.
I was like, stop aging yourself. Stop it.
Wow.
Okay, I'm done with that. All right,
no,
sorry.
I do remember that. And, you know, remember, I mean, it's vanilla ice, the whole nine yards. And, man, it caused, it, you know, how dare you? White people aren't allowed to sing that kind of music.
Exactly. Exactly. So I have a little bit of a problem with the conversation in that respect because, you know, music's for everybody. She's, you know, she's breaking glass ceilings. She's breaking down walls. But when two white guys want to sing rap, all of a sudden they're racists, and that's only for black people. So
even Beyonce was like, when they, it was announced, Jay-Z and Beyonce were like, you got to be kidding me. This really, really? We won? What?
They were afraid. Yeah. And listen, I don't know who decides who wins what in country music. And let's face it, country music is really pop now. It's kind of becoming the new rock pop. She just made it super pop. That's all.
Anyway, hey, can we talk about what happened over the weekend with all of these illegals marching in the streets? Here's what I don't get, Mary. They say things were so bad in Mexico that they fled Mexico to come to America. So in response to that, they're burning our flag, but they're waving the Mexican flag.
Yeah. Nobody said they were bright. It's also kind of like Queers for Palestine. So it's, we're not dealing with our best and brightest. So that's number one. And if you ask them, you know, they're all about Mexico or Venezuela, wherever. But there was a story that Elon Musk put out on X, I want to say last week, that showed something like 65% of foreign nationals in this country work here, save up their money or send it home, and then go back to their home country to retire where they live like kings and queens. So that's something we need to look at. I personally think these people are just here to use us. They're just here to, you know, get all the freebies from America, work under the table, send the money back home, and live very well when they're done, you know, taking advantage of Americans.
You see,
in my humble opinion,
I think the media, everybody's on the wrong side of this one. And when you look at the polling data, an overwhelming number of Americans are supporting the roundups and getting these very bad people off of our streets.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for getting out the criminals first. You know, here you go, because we do know that some of these countries did absolutely empty out their prisons and say, go to America, or, you know, you stay in prison. So they came to America. And what bothers me about all of this is it really makes our legal immigrants who love this country, who proudly wave our flag when they stand there and take the oath of citizenship, right? It makes them look bad because the left lumps the two groups together, and it's not fair. So it gives all quote-unquote immigrants a bad name, because we're not supposed to note that those people are here illegally, and because the legal immigrants have their heads down, they're busy doing what they're supposed to do in order to become citizens.
You know, here's what gets me on this, and it's an interesting point you bring up, because the folks that are completely ignored here are the folks trying to get to this country legally.
Right.
Nobody cares about those folks.
Well, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Nobody pays attention to them because they're not out parading in the streets, right? They're working. They're busy learning English. They're, you know, raising their families if they have them. They're busy studying for their exam, you know, paying their lawyers, working so they can pay the lawyers so they can come through the process legally, because they respect our laws. And this idea that, oh, there's no such thing as an illegal human being. No, when you made the choice to cross the border illegally, you committed a crime. It's in the name, illegal.
Try going across, American citizen, try and go across the border in Mexico without their permission and see what happens.
Any country. I love getting into it with these people on X, because they always run. They call you a name and then they leave, because they have the mentality or the emotional stability of an 8-year-old. And you ask them, okay, well, which country's immigration law should we adopt? Which one's about? There shouldn't be any laws. It should be what? I'm like, so total open borders? Like, they live in a fantasy land, some of these people. But listen, they're having their heads handed to them. Venezuela, Trump just ended temporary protected status for Venezuelans so he can ship all of these Trende Aragua kids right back to Venezuela. And Venezuela has agreed to take them back. So it's working. And I think the majority of Americans, you're not hearing a lot of pushback on the usual suspects in the mainstream media, etc., because the majority of Americans love sending people who are violent criminals back home. And watching them wave these flags of Mexico and everywhere else in our streets, blocking freeways, doesn't win them any supporters. All it does is tick people off. So I'm not quite sure what their game plan is, but it's going to have the opposite effect of what they think.
I want to play some audio. We're not going to play all of this, but I want you to hear the DNC. They were electing their leadership. Things are so bad, they actually went with two white guys. But here, I want you to hear some of the gals over at DNC HQ. Cut number 9.
Hello, Democrats. Hey, I am speaking. And I would love your attention. There is a black woman at this podium, and I deserve your attention like the 11 people who went before me. Yes,
oh boy.
I am speaking.
Good evening, Democrats. Look up here. Three strong black women standing before you. Three black women who, rather than just grabbing a chair, ran for chair.
Te quiero mucho, papa. Gracias por todo. My name is Artie Blanco, Freddie Blanco's daughter.
Okay, no. We're good.
Yes, I did watch that. And, boy, they're so, you know, they're super nice, right? Like, they're people you want to hang around with. I demand that you listen to me.
How dare you misgender me? Who do you think you are?
I love someone who gets in the microphone and their first inclination, their first instinct is to just yell at me. Because that makes me want to vote for you or listen to anything you have to say. And guess what? They all lost. So.
It's true. And then they turn around. This is my favorite part of the new DNC guy. He's from Minnesota. His name is Ken Martin. He is white as a cracker, this one. Here he is back in 2019. Cut 14.
So I have to admit that I have my own white privilege here. But that doesn't prevent me from seeing the phobias that exist throughout our communities, both in Minnesota and, frankly, throughout this country.
So they pick two white guys to lead the DNC now.
Okay, so this guy... this Ken Martin guy also said that Democrats already have the right message, so we don't need to change it.
I agree. Wholeheartedly, I agree with that.
Exactly. Right. And I kind of didn't want to have this conversation with you just in case a Democrat might be listening, because I'm like, shh, don't tell them. And the other guy they picked was David Hogg. He's the vice chair. What David Hogg wasn't, we later found out, he was not at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School when the shooting happened, right? He was on his way in on his bike or something. Now, I may have that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that
No, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
And yeah, he wasn't even there when the shooting happened.
So he's like AOC talking about the trauma from being at the Capitol on January 6th when she wasn't there?
So, oh, that's right. I forgot it because right? They said she was afraid of getting raped.
So she wasn't even there. So Democrats love this. So they pick two white men. David Hogg is the one who doesn't think you should be allowed to have a gun. He wants to totally get rid of the Second Amendment, but he would love some private security with guns. And what has he done? He got into Harvard just because of his name, because he's gone around the country screaming and yelling, and everybody's afraid because that's what they do. They're bullies. You listen to those women. It was bullying tactics. You listen to me. You know, David Hogg is another one. He's a bully. But you know he's a total soy boy, right? You know, if he has to run away from you, the skinny jeans are going to trip him up every time. So, and he gets into Harvard for what? What did he get into Harvard for? What has he done since then except become he's still the darling of the left, so they made him vice chair of the DNC. So he can, supposedly, so he can influence young people. I'm like, the only young people who are going to listen to him are already voting Democrat. You are not going to get a gun-toting, pickup truck driving, you know, young man to listen to David Hogg. That's just not happening.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, Mary Walter. By the way, who's coming up on the podcast?
Tonight it is the Greek. Tomorrow night it is the Greek goddess of comedy, Ellen Karras, who will be joining me. Something a little different. We're not really going to talk politics tomorrow night. We might a little bit, but she's very funny. So she will be joining me tomorrow night, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. It's live on YouTube and on Getter, and it is interactive. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. Thank you.
Tell her I said hello. I was a big fan of My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I love that. And Mamma Mia, not so much, but...
Well, you know that's not her, right?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
But she's Greek. That's the only Greek I know.
You probably knew her from Fox. She was on Fox for a while.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, I think I do know her.
She was in finance, and she left it all to go do comedy.
Wow. Well, after being at Fox, you know, well, anyway. Okay.
Thanks for having me on. This is so much fun. I miss you.
Mary Walter, everybody. The one, the only. Be sure to check out her awesome podcast as well. Mary, good hearing from you.
Thanks, honey. Bye, everybody. Right. Have a good day.
There you go. Mary Walter. So, I'm trying to understand. Dylan, I know you actually watched the Grammys last night.
Unfortunately.
And I'm trying to understand the whole... Beyonce, she is a very accomplished musician, but I'm just telling you, not everybody can do country.
Yeah, I mean, she's a great artist, but is she a country artist? No. Was the album even country? Maybe like a song or two. But like, I listen to the album because I enjoy music. I listen to it if it's out there, but it wasn't that country.
Cowboy Carter is... I got the impression she was almost like mocking. There was a sense of mockery there.
Yeah, she did it just so she could win the award, I think, in my opinion.
Let's go to Maria in North Carolina. All right, Maria, what say you?
Hi, Todd. I am saying that absolutely not. Beyonce should not have won that Country Music Award. I'm a black woman, and I do not listen to her music simply because she does not have a good voice. Her voice is weak and mousy, and she would be better perhaps at doing cartoon voiceovers than as a singer. Oh. You know, it takes more to be a country music artist than just putting on a cowboy hat and a cowboy and cowboy boots. You have to live the life. And country life does not come through her music, just like with a blues singer. Those blues artists have lived the hard blues life, and it comes through in their music. I think, actually, that Jelly Roll would have been a better recipient of that award.
I listened
to his music, and it's true. It rings true. Beyonce and country does not ring true.
It was kind of like, you know, I go back to Charlie Pride, who my dad was a big Charlie Pride fan back in the day, and he was the first major black country music artist. And there is this authenticity. You know, if you're a country music singer, you are typically a country music songwriter because you're writing about your lived experience, and that's where that authenticity comes from. Whether it's, you know, Willie Nelson or Dolly or Hank, there is an authenticity, and I just didn't get that with whatever Beyonce was up there trying to do. Hate to do this, Maria, but we got a skedaddle. But it's a great thought, and especially folks, when you're talking about blues, I mean, you got to live that. Otherwise, you're going to come across as a phony. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Paul Shanklin recommending that yours truly, my next big project, should be recording a rap or hip-hop album called Stones in the Hood. I love this idea. I think I could... Well, they say I'm pretty fly for a white guy, so I think I can drop a beat. Is that what you call it? Yeah, I think I can do that. So we'll work on some song selection. All right. By the way, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight. Got to tune into the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We're going to have a great time. Tens of millions of Americans are literally turning off Fox and News and CNN, and they're turning to Newsmax for breaking information they need to know. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. You can find it on all major cable systems and your TV or your smartphone store. All you have to do is download the Newsmax app for free and start watching. You can find out why millions of Americans have made the switch. Even President Trump watches. So make the switch to Newsmax. You can check us out on cable, satellite TV, and, of course, our awesome Newsmax app. Newsmax, real news for real people. Hour 3 of the big show coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us today. At this hour, Democrats are protesting. They're enraged that President Trump has placed a temporary freeze on U.S. aid. Their budget, over $50 billion, one of the largest official aid agencies in the world, and it accounts for more than half of all U.S. foreign assistance. And I'm telling you right here and right now, ladies and gentlemen, that ultimately, do not be surprised if we learn that this is some sort of a slush fund for these far leftist organizations. And I already mentioned some of the religious charities that were getting money from USAID to take care of the illegals coming across the border. Now, there was a story that surfaced over the weekend about funding for Ukraine. And it turns out the Ukrainians are now telling us that they have not gotten all of the money that they were promised. And so people are wondering, okay, where is the rest of the money? That's a good question. Well, it turns out, and hear me on this, folks, this is going to require a little bit of investigative journalism. But do not be surprised if it turns out that the Biden administration was sending money over to Ukraine, and then Ukraine was having to send that money right back to the United States in the form of, and I'm just going to speculate here, is it possible that a lot of the money that was meant for Ukraine turned out in bank accounts for the DNC? Is it possible that the massive campaign donations they were getting was money actually designated by Congress for Ukraine? Could be. They're going to have to take a look at all of that. But I am telling you right here and now, ladies and gentlemen, until we do, we need to put a stop on all foreign funding until we can get a handle on this. Now, here's my take on it. I think the American people are a very charitable bunch. When something bad happens in another part of the world, we're always there to help, and we should continue to do that. But we've got $50 billion here that we're giving other countries. When you've got people suffering right now in Western North Carolina, East Tennessee, you've got people that lost everything in the Florida wild and the California wildfires. So my question is, why aren't we doing everything we can to help our own people? Here's my take. Help Americans first. Whatever's left over, we can help your country. That's what everybody else does. But you've got all these folks out there now saying, oh, it'll be World War III if we don't give all this money. The whole world is going to collapse. Well, maybe it will. Maybe it won't. All I'm saying is take care of American people first. People are calling me heartless. They're calling me the Antichrist. They're calling me Satan. But I think it's just a very charitable approach. Take care of the American people first, everybody else second. By the way, that's what the British do. They take care of the British people first. They take care of everybody else after. I don't even know if they take care of people. The French, it's always about themselves. They don't care about anybody else. But that's the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I want to play some audio here. Over the weekend, we got the identity of the third pilot or the third military member of that Black Hawk chopper that flew directly into the path of the regional jetliner. Now, I'm just curious. Why do you think it is that the family didn't want the name released? Why is it that they did not want that name released? Why did they wait several days? It was a while before we knew who that person was. I want to speculate here, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, but it turns out that somebody over those past couple of days actually scrubbed all of her social media accounts, every single one of them. Her name, that, and we now know the name, her name is Captain Rebecca Lobach. She was the third soldier on board the Black Hawk helicopter. She'd been in the military for 6 years. She was assigned to Fort Belvoir in Virginia. The family released a very peculiar statement. But again, they erased all of her social media. All of her social media stuff is gone. They scrubbed the internet. The family saying that Rebecca was many things. She was a daughter, a sister, a friend, and a partner. She was a servant, a caregiver, an advocate. Most of all, she loved and was loved. Her life was short, but she made a difference in the lives of all who knew her. Our heart breaks for the other families who have lost loved ones in this national tragedy, and we mourn with them. So it also turns out that she worked or volunteered at the White House as a military social aide. She was an event planner at the White House. That was her, that's how she spent her spare time. And she also lived in a house valued at more than $500,000, which is pretty impressive for a 28-year-old. So maybe she was good with her money. It's a terrible tragedy, no doubt about it. But something's not adding up here. Now, there's been a lot of controversy over President Trump and his comments that DEI played a role here. Maybe it did, maybe it did not. But when you intentionally withhold someone's name, when you're rather coy about all of it, and then when you do release a statement and you release the name, there are still a lot of questions. And I think those questions deserve to be answered. I think the people on board that regional jetliner, they deserve to have those questions answered as well. But there are others who are out there, you know what? It's over. It's done with. The polite thing to do is just to let it go. Let bygones be bygones. Really? You see what happened in Philadelphia Friday night? That was horrifying. And all I can tell you is that that plane that went down, that medical flight that went down, may I just say that that looked pretty darn intentional to me. I know we're going to get the black box and all that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you, that flight looked like a missile. That airplane looked like a missile. And it left a 5-foot crater. There's video of some poor guy in a diner. He nearly had his head decapitated. Apparently, a piece of that airplane shot through the diner and literally skimmed the guy's scalp. He was sitting there. It's all on video. 20-something people injured, 7 people we believe killed. I'm not sure we're getting the full story on that one either, to be honest with you. All that to say, I am pretty leery of flying anywhere these days. Now, I want to go back, and we talk about DEI. You need to go back and listen to the questioning of Joe Biden's nominee for the FAA administrator. So Ted Cruz asked some pretty pointed questions during the confirmation process. And I want you to listen to the questions that Ted Cruz asked Biden's nominee. Cut 15.
Have you ever flown a plane?
Thank you for the question, Senator. No, I have never flown a plane.
So you weren't a military pilot or a commercial airline pilot?
No, Senator.
Have you ever worked for an airline?
No, Senator.
Have you ever worked as an air traffic controller?
No, Senator.
Have you ever worked for a company that manufactures airplanes?
No, Senator.
Have you ever worked for a company that fixes airplanes?
No, Senator.
FAA administrator is a specialized position. I'm not qualified to be FAA administrator. I have no idea how to fly a plane. No one in their right mind would put me in charge of aviation safety because I don't have that experience. I suspect most of the members of this committee are in a similar position. The American people, when they think about aviation safety, when they think about, I played in this committee, a Southwest Airlines and FedEx plane almost colliding at Austin's airport. They want an FAA administrator who knows why those planes crash and knows how to fix it to keep them safe. And with all respect, Mr. Washington, it gives no comfort to the flying public that their pilot might be a transgendered witch but doesn't actually know how to prevent the plane from crashing into the ground and killing them. I believe your record is woefully lacking. And in fact, you have zero aviation safety experience.
And it's true. The guy didn't. I would have gone a step further. I would have asked the nominee, his name was Phil Washington, if he actually knew how to make a paper airplane. Can you even do that, sir? Can you make, here's a sheet of loose leaf paper. Can you make a paper airplane for us? I don't think he could have. But this has been an ongoing problem. Going back to 2023, Ted Cruz, by the way, that guy ended up pulling his name, and there was another guy that got nominated, Mike Whitaker. And Ted Cruz said, hey, look, this is back in 2023. We've had several near misses. We've had chronic air traffic controller staffing shortages, what, 10,000 down, ongoing problems with implementing all of this new technology at the FAA. And he's right. So these are nothing. These issues are nothing new. It goes all the way back to the lawsuit, the federal lawsuit, the class action lawsuit filed by Adam Laxalt on behalf of 1,000 very well-qualified people who could have been air traffic controllers, but they were turned away because of the color of their skin. They were. This is what DEI is. It is a nefarious thing. And under DEI, you had some very well-qualified people that were simply told, your kind is not welcome here. That is not right. It's just simply not right. So that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I am very concerned about the future of air travel in this country, and it's going to take them some time to get all that figured out. I'm just telling you. All right, 901-260-5926. And that being said, I'm happy to drive, and we've got Buc-ee's. So I'm good. 901-260-5926, our number, that's 901-260-5926. Folks, if you haven't heard the news, gold is having a pretty historic moment. In 2024, it hit 39 record highs. J.P. Morgan calling it the number one commodity for 2025. Bank of America predicting it could hit $3,000 an ounce very soon. And why is that? Well, the markets are going crazy, and you saw that over the past couple of days. You've got the central banks, they're hoarding gold at record levels, and inflation is still an issue. Now, gold is not just some sort of a pretty shiny metal. It is the ultimate shield against inflation, and you know this. We talk about this a lot on the show. So the question is, are you ready to miss out? Because waiting could cost you big time. That's why Priority Gold is offering all of you a free wealth preservation guide. This is a step-by-step roadmap to fortify your savings with gold during this historic bull run. So there is no cost, there is no obligation, and you get it in instant delivery. All you need to do is text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. You can also visit PriorityGold.com to claim your free gold guide today, or text Todd to 24999. All right, so a lot of folks are wondering who let John Fetterman on the golf course. The PGA is facing a big controversy involving Jason Day. Did you see this over the weekend? He was playing in the final round of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and the guy was wearing a sweatsuit. And a lot of people really got upset about this, telling him that it was inappropriate. He looked like a slob, that he looked like John Fetterman. Now, this guy has, he's from Australia. Well, that's no excuse. He should still wear appropriate attire on the golf course. So it got to the point where the Augusta National actually asked him to make an outfit change during last year's Masters. And one person writing on X, I don't care how much I get downvoted, but he's finding new ways to look like a slob. It's an insult to the game. I'm curious, does that bother you that they're starting to go a little bit lax on the dress codes in professional golf? You know, typically, I think Ben Dieter tried to play golf in Crocs once, and it's just hard, you know. Can't do that. But typically, if you're playing golf, you're wearing a polo shirt, You've got to wear pants. I mean, shorts or shorts, but it's not like short shorts. You got to wear appropriate shorts. You got your golf shoes and you got a hat or a visor. But you're not supposed to wear t-shirts. I mean, there are rules. So the question is, are those rules unfair? You know, I remember back in the day, and this was not too long ago. This would have been in the 70s. Okay, that's a while ago. I remember in the 70s, you might remember this, when you went on an airplane flight, you wore, gentlemen, you wore a coat and tie. If you're a child, your mom would have you wearing a tie. It would be almost like you're going to church. When you would go shopping, you would always dress up. But now you're lucky if people are actually wearing pants at Walmart. Oh, I was in Walmart the other day, and I can tell you that's true in the dayside hours as well. I mean, people are they're walking around in their Crocs and their pajama pants. They look disheveled. Do we have a slobbish nation, ladies and gentlemen? Anyway, Spirit Airlines just announced they've got a brand new dress code, which is a big deal, and it's a pretty low bar. You have to wear shoes. If you're on Spirit Airlines, you now have to wear shoes. You also have to cover your breast, buttocks, and other private parts. Again, it's a low bar. But at least Spirit Airlines is trying to make people, you know, not look like trash. Hawaiian Airlines now prohibiting people from wearing bathing suits. Unbelievable. Southwest Airlines passengers cannot wear clothing that is lewd, obscene, or patently offensive, which is just about everybody that flies on Southwest Airlines. It's true. American Airlines. Well, you need to be wearing a life preserver. But you have to dress appropriately. And again, they have a problem in American Airlines with bare feet. What's up? People are literally showing up and they're not wearing shoes. I remember I was in first class on a Delta flight. Some guy took off his shoes in first class and started scooping out the toe jam between his toes. And then he clipped his toenails. In first class. Come on, sir. Anyway, you got a problem with this, ladies and gentlemen. The PGA telling people you got to dress appropriately for the golf course. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I want to go to some audio here. This is Sean Duffy, and he was on CNN explaining the issues involving the shortage we're dealing with in the air traffic control towers, cut number 11.
So you just alluded to DEI, the diversity, equity, and inclusion processes of trying to expand people in the workforce. Is there any specific evidence that backs up Donald Trump's claims, President Trump's claims, that DEI or FAA hiring practices are responsible in any way for this tragedy at Reagan National?
So, Jake, I think the better question is, am I going to guarantee the American people that only the best and the brightest serve in this incredibly important body of the Department of Transportation, that they're driven by safety, and DEI doesn't matter? So I do know that in the last administration, they were focused on not safety, but they were focused on changing the name from cockpit to flight deck, or notice to airmen. They wanted to change it to notice to air mission. They focused on EVs and sustainability and racist roads, things that don't matter in regard to safety. Our mission since the start has been safety, and they've lost that mission. And we see when you don't focus on safety and you focus on social justice or the environment, bad things happen. And so it's been busy. We're going to have a fuller assessment of what happens in regard to DEI in FAA and DOT, and we'll report that out. But I will tell you this, DOT is a big department. The only DEI office that exists in the whole department was at the FAA. Now, that existed up to a week ago. That's now gone.
And we're glad it's gone. And this is about life or death, ladies and gentlemen. And this has nothing to do with skin color. This has nothing to do with anything other than, are you qualified to be in that tower? Are you qualified to be in that cockpit? All right, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So hello to Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee, represents the 2nd Congressional District. You know, Congressman, it is incredibly troubling when you look at what, going all the way back to Barack Obama, what they did to the air traffic controllers in this country.
Absolutely, and I hope we get to the bottom of it. You know, Reagan, if you remember, Todd, he fired them when they went on strike. They had a contract, and they broke that contract, and he stood by it, and we ended up getting better service out of that. And I suspect that's what we're fixing to find out now once we dig into all this. It's unbelievable the amount of money that we've spent on DEI throughout the entire government. I know they identified over $1 billion just this weekend in the military and other agencies that are doing just that. It's, I have a saying about just put the best players in, coach, and that's what we got to start doing.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Congressman. In the meantime, you've got all the Democrats enraged on Capitol Hill over the suspension of U.S. aid funding. You know, Congressman, I'm not sure the average American understands how much of their hard-earned money is going to help people in other countries.
Well, it's not. And they'd probably be upset that it's not actually helping. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru, and just go down the list. It's things like that they're using the money for, and it's not for giving kids shots to prevent malaria or things like that. It's just, it's complete propaganda, and the taxpayers have no business funding that kind of thing. If some private organization wants to do it, that's their business. But this isn't a private organization. It's the United States of America. You know, it's amazing to me that we're not promoting capitalism and democracy, things that made America great. Instead, we're proposing things that are just tearing it down, and we're promoting that around the world, and that seems to be our agenda. So it's definitely a Marxist ideology, and they know it. We've got them, and that's why they're pitching a fit.
Congressman, I wrote this on X, and I got a little bit of blowback. My whole point was, I don't mind helping other countries, but we got to take care of our own first. But the reality is, and the blowback came when people pointed out, we got no money. We're broke. Our country is in debt up to our wazoo, and then some. We can't afford to do anything.
Yeah, what's the logic in borrowing money so we can give it away? There is no logic in that, Todd. You're exactly right. It's fiscally irresponsible. And I want to warn people, though, every time we find these dollars to save, somebody's going to find a place to spend it. And I'm afraid a lot of this money is going to go to our Pentagon, which is, again, not past the last eight audits. They haven't even completed the last eight audits. $500 billion is missing. That is the same as an aircraft carrier. So let's remember that, too. We got to, once we save it, it doesn't mean we need to spend it.
So, and Congressman, we've got to get to the bottom of this. When Zelensky may be lying, and okay, I get that, but he may not be. He says he only got $75 billion of the $177 billion in aid. I'm curious, is it possible that a lot of that money ended back up here in the United States?
100%. That was one of their selling points. Oh, but they're spending it in America. You know, it's as if we need to prop up some other country so they can come spend it instead of giving our own people tax relief. That would be the way to do it. But no, it's completely possible. It's completely feasible. When we gave our missile defense system to Ukraine, members of both parties owned stock in the company that produced our missile defense system, and it was a multi-billion-dollar contract that we had to replenish our own missiles. And they bought that stock 2 to 3 weeks ahead of the executive order by Biden. So, yes, it is very plausible that something shady is going on with our politicians.
All right, Congressman, we've got a little bit of a bad connection there, but we're going to have to wrap it up there. But we certainly appreciate you coming on the program, and we certainly appreciate you and the great work you're doing, holding everybody accountable up in Washington. Got to make sure that that happens. Unbelievable, folks. But I want to ask you a question, because I get this complaint a lot. Well, you're just being unchristian, Todd. Christians are called to be charitable, and we should be going out there and we should be lending a helping hand to other people in need. We should be opening up our doors and our homes to the illegals. And if we don't, that just makes you a bad Christian. Really? Is that true? Ladies and gentlemen, does that make me a bad Christian? Does that make me a bad person that I want to take care of American people first? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines. And I'm a bad Christian. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ryan in Jackson, Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. All right, Ryan, what say you?
Well, I'm a fellow bad Christian here out in West Tennessee, and it's a simple answer. If I have kids, they're in school. I have two school-age kids, and I want to make sure that school-age kids have food. I'll start with my own kids first. I'm not going to go feed the hungry kids in the community if my kids are starving. So it just makes your question makes me think about what Rush always used to say. If you try to apply rational thinking to leftism, you're going to go crazy. You're not a bad Christian. I'm not a bad Christian.
Ryan, I will say, are you a Southern Baptist or an Independent Baptist?
No, I go to it's a non-denominational. Oh, I actually just moved here. I'm new to the area.
Oh, well,
church shopping.
Well, welcome to Tennessee. Let me say this about I'm Southern Baptist, and our denomination, we came back from the throes of liberalism in the late 1970s and the early 80s. Unfortunately, we're heading right back to where we came from, and a lot of that is coming out of these seminaries, and you've got all these young pastors, and they're woke as the day is long, and they do not share that mindset. They truly believe that we should forsake our own families for people that we don't know from another country. And I can't get my head wrapped around that.
Well, my wife, we've been married for 6 years. She's from Mexico. She came here when she was 12. She was brought by parents and not the right way. But as soon as she turned 18, she's been here legally. There is a way to be here legally. She's grew up Catholic, and she is totally against our country forking over all of this money to pay for people that don't want to do it the right way. And I would say that most people who immigrate legally are in the same boat as we are.
And if you've been here 20 years and you haven't made any effort to try and become a legal citizen, you screwed up and you want to do the right thing, I think there should be a path for people like that. And whatever that path is, there should be a path. But if you've been here 20 years and you haven't even tried, no, I'm sorry. You got to go back. I got a problem with that.
Well, we're right here with you, Todd, and we appreciate what you're doing for us.
Well, thanks for calling in, Ryan. Enjoy West Tennessee, and there are some good churches in the Jackson, Tennessee area, though, so that's you're going to have a good time church hunting. Let's go to Pastor Howell in Youngstown, Ohio. Hello, Pastor. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Todd, you know, a lot of people are talking about God being a God of love and everything, but what they forget is God is a God of justice, too. I'm an Independent Baptist preacher, old-time King James Bible believer and everything, but I go by what the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't say Christians should be stupid. There's nothing in the Bible that says blessed are the stupid. And when God blesses people in the Bible, it's for obedience. He says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And when God says to be loving and all this stuff, it's to present the gospel of Christ to people. But when God blesses people, he blesses them for obedience. Jesus never said that we're supposed to give everything to people that thumb their nose in the space, that want to live illegal, that want to go out there and rape, murder, and kill, and then we're supposed to turn around and give him the blessings God give us for our obedience to God. God doesn't reward disobedience, and he doesn't expect us to either. And so the people would say you're not a Christian because you don't give God's blessings that he gave you to those that are thumbing their noses in God's face and want to live illegal and break every law, and like the perverts and everything out there, they're demanding their rights. They don't have no rights in the Bible except to repent or go to hell. That's their right, to repent or go to hell. They don't have no rights that God gave you for obedience and, and living by the word of God. And that's how simple it is. God draws a line in the sand, and he says, if you want obedience, if you want blessings, you go this way. If you, you know, rebel against him, you're going to reap the consequences, and he doesn't expect us to give his blessings that he gave to us to those that are rebellious.
You know what concerns me, Pastor, is that we've got a lot of, there are a lot of ministers that just, that do not think like you think. And a lot of them have been co-opted by George Soros and these globalists. And you wonder how much influence they've had in the seminaries and in the training place, you know, whether it be the Catholic seminaries or the Baptist or whatever. And that's what concerns me, is that the enemy has been allowed to infiltrate the church in America. And when that happens, it is a very dangerous thing.
Well, Todd, these aren't real men of God. These are a bunch of wimps. They want to get along with everybody. They don't want to hurt their income. They don't want to hurt the money they're getting in. They want to please man rather than please God. And if I wouldn't even go to a church like that for 5 minutes. If a church isn't standing by the word of God and doing the things God wants them to do, get out of that church. And these guys, like I said, they're not speaking for God. They're a bunch of humanistic wimps, and that's all there is to it. And they're, you know, that you had people even in the Old Testament that would tell the prophets they're not being kind and they're not being right because the prophets preach repentance and getting right with God. And so that's what preachers today ought to have backbone, Todd. And they ought to say, thus saith the Lord. And they ought to say, it's better to obey God than man. And George Soros and all these one worlders are the ones that are behind wanting to destroy our Constitution and turning America into a third rate, bankrupt, UN controlled country. And it's the UN behind this stuff, supporting the Democrat to destroy this country and make it a weak one world police state.
Pastor, and, do you want to give the name of your church there in the Youngstown area? I have to imagine there are people listening in Youngstown and they're like, I want to go to a church like that.
Yeah, actually, I go to Doers of the Word Baptist Church up in Newberry, Ohio.
Oh.
I live in Youngstown, but I go up to Doers of the Word Baptist Church up in Newberry, Ohio. And it's pastored by Pastor Ernie Sanders, who also has a radio program called Voice of the Christian Resistance. It's on the air every night. The
channel
I'm talking to you on right now.
All right. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for calling in. You make a lot of sense, and I appreciate that. And it's good to know there are pastors out there like Pastor Howell, ladies and gentlemen, in Ohio, who understand the truth. And the truth will set you free. Oh, that's another thing, Ben Dieter. When Sunday church came, you dressed up. You wore the best of the best when you were going to church. And now even the preachers are showing up in flip-flops and shorts and Hawaiian shirts.
Is that a problem?
It is a problem.
No, I love it.
Well, you wouldn't go out on a date dressed like that.
I would, too.
Well, you would.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you wouldn't get married. If you're getting married, you're dressing up. You're putting on your Sunday best.
Define Sunday best, because Sunday best means something different than what it meant to you. I don't want to date you or date anybody. You know, I go to a church, and the Sunday best, the preacher is wearing Jordans. And he's got the swagger, Todd. Gospel shoes, it puts a new spin on the gospel shoes.
But isn't our nation becoming a nation of slobbery? I mean, nobody dresses up anymore. Nobody, you know, puts the time and effort. Mm-mm. People are showing up and they're not bathed. They don't shave. And I'm talking about men and women.
Yeah. By the way, did you see Kamala Harris's stepdaughter over the weekend?
Oh, Lord.
She's promoting a new shaving line of razors, Todd, and it's for the under armpits. This woman has more hair under her armpits. I know everybody's eating, so we can
like
talk
a
about
forest.
It. Now. Yeah. More. She's Chewbacca under each armpit. And that could have been in the White House. If you needed a reason to count your blessing, it is this, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't have a stepdaughter, a first child in the White House with big Chewbaccas underneath of her armpits. Do you see that? It's like promo code Chewbacca. Sorry, that's a weird pivot.
By the way, speaking of Chewbacca, did you see that story about some woman had a bad breakup and the ex posted on some site, hey, look, call this number. It's a Chewbacca contest. And, you know, the winner's going to get $500. So the poor woman's getting, like, voicemails from Chewbaccas all over the place.
No, they're looking for Chewbacca, which is even more offensive. They're calling looking for Chewbacca, which is the ex.
He set up this guy set up a fake Chewbacca roar contest to get revenge on his ex.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. It's kind of like how some zoos offer the cockroach special where you can buy your ex cockroaches. That's even better.
That's a local zoo. They do that at Valentine's Day. All right. Interesting. By the way, we have to give a shout out to Dinstall's Chocolates. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not joking around here. The best stinking chocolate in all of America, Dinstall's. And they deliver. And guys, it's dinstuhls.com, Dinstall's.com. You got to get some chocolate, but I'm telling you, they also have this stuff called Cashew Crunch. It's like crack cocaine, but it won't kill you.
Don't forget about the chocolate-covered strawberries.
Unless you got the diabetes. Oh, but otherwise, you're going to... Oh, the chocolate-covered strawberries. Jeez, a loop. Yeah, go check them out, folks. 5 o'clock tonight, Newsmax. Be good, America.